Hello, my name's Mark Vernon, and I'm here with Abigail Peters. Hello, Abigail.
Hello to you, Mark.
For the first of our conversations about constellations. And Abigail, we're meeting in the season of Valentine's, St. Valentine, and so I thought it'd be a good one to talk about love. And of course, love is at the heart of constellations as well. So perhaps a good starter would be, what does love mean to you, particularly in the area of constellations?
Well, it's such a huge topic, isn't it? Because when we talk about family constellations, it really is the underpinning element of what family constellations is about, in terms of, I guess we have to go to Bert Hellinger in the orders of love. So I think in the context of family constellations, I am looking at love as the flow, if you like, of life that kind of runs through family systems and allows things to have a flow rather than be disturbed or blocked by different tensions or things that are just stopping the actual flow of life.
Yeah, so it's, the analogy is often used, isn't it, of kind of like an electric charge or current, you know, the spirit, you might say, that gives life, that enables things to move forward and not get jammed up in some way.
Absolutely, and that can look very different in different areas. So it could be love between two people, and therefore it's a relationship. It could be the flow of love that actually you can see blossom in your careers, in your work. So in terms of family constellations, I think when we're looking at love, it isn't just between two people, but it's actually what the person and people experience, which allows that flow and, like you say, the moving forward in life.
So let's start with the two people, because that's sort of a common experience of love, and then expand it. That might be helpful. When we think, I guess, of love between two people, as we do at this time of year, I think we're talking about things like a kind of attraction that maybe is a yearning for, say, completion,
yes,
or for something that's going to make our life expand in some way or other. Now, does that resonate with the constellations view of love as well, would you say?
Well, I think how I see it is when we are looking to the other person for a form of completion, it's probably because something was missing from our childhoods. So actually, is that really love, or is that a distortion of love? And I think in family constellations, what we see often is a man or a woman looking for what was missing in terms of what they didn't get from their mother or what they didn't get from their father. And then we see in relationships things go wrong, because after the romantic period has kind of finished, if you like, you then have to look at the reality. And the reality is that your partner isn't your mother and isn't your father. So if we're really looking at healthy love, big question, it's actually we're already complete and we meet a partner that we can be individual with, and then we come together and actually it becomes, I don't know, the parts are bigger than the whole, if you like. But not that we're needing something from the other person, but that the other person we can actually dance with, and love becomes something that, I guess, is a play and flourishes in that way.
Yeah, as you were talking, it made me think about, there's a kind of directionality, it almost feels, that we can unwittingly be sort of looking back and wanting to make up for something that didn't work out so well in the past, when we're looking for a partner.
Absolutely.
And that's loading something on the partner in a way the partner can't give, that we've got to try and understand where we've come from in this flow of love, in order for a future orientated love to have a direction that it can go in, maybe all of its own, sort of resourced by the past, but being able to step into the future. Something like that.
Absolutely. I mean, I guess the same for you in our psychotherapeutic practices. You see that relationships have actually ended up as parent and child, child and parent. And therefore, they're not two equal adults coming together. And I always think back to how, like, let's say, Imago theory fits with constellations, where they kind of take love from the Greek words, and they take Eros, for example, which is that romantic, flirty Hollywood love, which is the initial attraction. And at that point, you meet this other partner and you think, oh my gosh, I've become whole. But then that period of romantic love has to come to an end. I think it's actually a chemical in the brain which lasts from anywhere from 6 months to 2 years. And once that chemical's over, either people have the power struggle, and that's when, you know, relationships can stop, or come to a disastrous end, or you move to the next part, which is what the Greeks call agape. And agape is very much about creating what was the enemy, the friend. So you actually are then moving into probably a much more mature sense of love, whereby you can actually have a mutual respect for each other.
Yeah, it reminds me of Eric Fromm's distinction too between falling in love and standing in love. And he has this argument that in this first initial kind of erotic, romantic love, we fall for someone who we don't really know. And so they can become the projection for, in a way, what we're looking for from the past. But eventually we get to know them and we realise that they're not the perfect receptacle for our projections, for what, as it were, we're struggling with within ourselves. And the question then is, can we make this a kind of standing in love where this person who we've had this relationship with becomes a person in their own right rather than just the source of our own trouble, a sort of object who we hope will save us from all our troubles. And that then moves from this more romantic, erotic love to this agape, or arape, as they say, modern Greek, kind of love. Yeah. So, and that transition is often very difficult. Absolutely. Because you feel like you're falling out of love because the intensity has to shift in some way.
And I think that's it. When we can support people and through psychotherapeutic work and family constellations, through that absolute inevitable power struggle. So it's that power struggle where I fight for my territory, you fight for your territory. And actually, can we get to a place where we can be allies and then move into the next part of love, which I think the Greeks would call philia. Philanthropy, let's say, where we come into this real unconditional, if you like, if we reach that maturity, that level of maturity in love, where really we have that unconditional mutual respect.
So maybe we should take a step back and just drill down a little bit more into how constellations, but also other therapies, can help us understand when we get stuck in the early stages. Mm-hmm. One of Heliger's big insights, I think, is that the child will try to step into what they sense is lacking in their parents' relationship to try to make it work, to make up for it. You can understand this in many different ways. Perhaps it's a survival instinct, mm-hmm. But the child knows it needs parents to survive, and so will even sacrifice itself, Heliger would say, in order that dependency can be made to work. And I guess that's stepping back quite unconsciously, because it's often done in those first years of life where we don't even really remember what happened. We just have a kind of gut, embodied sort of sense of it. Constellations is very good, I think, at picking up that kind of embodied sense of what perhaps as a child you tried to put right, but you could never put right.
I think this is part of what I see as quite complex in that, well, it's complex, but it's simple. And it's what we call, and what Bert Hellinger calls, the blind love. It's that place when, as children, we're so innocent and so open. And actually, I guess, in my understanding, you're able to absorb what is actually out of balance in the family system. And it's not a logical thing, literally, inside oneself as that innocent child, say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make mummy and daddy happy, i.e. balance the family system, so ultimately I survive. So it's an interesting kind of magical place, isn't it, that a child comes from and is blinded by this unconscious love. And I think, you know, as we grow and we get older, we carry that with us. And I think Judith Hemmings said recently that our brains are shaped between the age of 0 and 7 with this understanding of what love is and the picture of our parents. And we grow with the same image.
It's a very brilliant way of putting it, I think, this idea of balancing the system, because it carries a picture of the child as you say, unwittingly detecting what's not right. And it may be between the parents. I guess it may be from elsewhere too. It may be in relation to the siblings. I mean, maybe in relation to previous generations.
Absolutely.
As well.
The transgenerational.
So it really helps, I think, give a picture of how that transgenerational attempt to save things can get drawn into, and yet it's also sort of beyond us, completely beyond us as well.
Yeah.
It's like a kind of the gaps, the vacuums, you know, within the system as a whole.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like kind of imagining, isn't it, this web that each person in the family system has its place. And if, through the generations, things are unfinished, or there's holes, or there's gaps, or in family constellations there's exclusions or early deaths, it creates like kind of a hole in the family system. And what I've recognised in my work as a therapist and as a constellator is that often, well, it's the innocent child, isn't it? But often the child with the biggest heart, the more sensitive child, if you like, picks up what is out of place or what is missing and moves energetically into that place to restore. And that's what we're calling blind love or unconscious love, but it isn't love.
Yeah, and that reminds me that one of the real sort of positive sides is when people come to workshops with these big hearts that are trying to fix things.
Mm.
You sense that whilst they can feel so troubled, it's also the bigness of heart that still holds that capacity for flow, I guess, and looking at things. And so things can be released. And when the thing is seen clearly, when it's acknowledged, another huge word for Bert Hellinger,
yeah.
Acknowledged as it is, that can make for big shifts, big movements, and new possibilities arise.
Beautiful healings. I mean, as you were speaking there, it gives me this kind of vision, this image of, you know, these innocent children with open, flowered hearts, blossomed hearts. And as life goes on, it's a very painful place to be in. So actually the heart can close down. And I think that's where the disturbances come in and the flow of love is interrupted. So in terms of the family constellations, it's about really allowing or facilitating the movement so that the heart can open again. And then love, if you like, as you're saying, creates this flow, and then there's a healing. But there's that image of, you know, the flower opening as an innocent, closing, and then maybe constellations is about helping the heart to open again whilst acknowledging exactly what the disturbance has been.
So we talked something about how the struggles that can emerge, particularly when we fall in love, when these things get repeated and replayed. I wonder whether we should finish just with some sense of how this constellation's way of looking at things helps us to appreciate a kind of relationship that has a dynamic forward, and what characterises the love that can move forward. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind for me, again, a very basic principle, that when people come together, it's a sharing and a making, an offering of new life that often is what creates the sense of forward movement. I mean, most obviously would be eventually, you know, the birth of children, or as Plato put it, I rather like this idea of Plato, that there are physical children, but there are also kind of children of the soul, the wider ways in which relationships can be creative as well. That sort of passing on dynamic, I really like.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Constellations and elsewhere. But that sense that something can be received and then given, that kind of balance, one of the orders.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about is like the principles underlying the whole family constellations theory, methodology, if you like, which is actually when we are in balance, when we are in our right place and acknowledging how we belong and where we belong, and actually our order, the right flow is that parents come first, children, and then as children, let's say our generation, would then pass it on by creating and having our own children. But there is that element that now we have different kind of love relationships. It's not just heterosexual. So one of the things that is beautiful in constellations is that the flow of love can still be passed on by actually being in service, by passing what you know on in different ways. That might be through writing books, through running workshops, whatever. But love doesn't have to just be through children. So not to kind of cancel out those relationships that are not heterosexual, for example.
Yeah. There can be many, many ways in which this flow can take place.
Absolutely.
But I do like this. Yeah, I do like this idea that there's something about when the flow is one of giving life, of offering life, that can be in many, many different forms and ways. Absolutely. That's what makes for really profound bonds, the most creative kind of bonds.
Mm.
You see that, whether it be making families, whether it be in tasks to do with kind of pursuits, creative pursuits, artistic pursuits, investigative pursuits, and of course I think also in spiritual pursuits too. I think it's no coincidence that often in the past people have come together in communities or sanghas in a kind of love together in order to pursue and to give birth, to open up the flower in a more spiritual element as well as the more immediately obvious sort of family-based ways as well.
That is true, and one of the things that I have learned to be incredibly important in the family constellations was something that I think Bert Hellinger learned from the communities, I guess the Zulu communities, which was that actually from there he recognized the respect that each member had of the ancestors and each member had of each other within the community. And what made the love flow was that everybody knew their role and their place.
So this gives a fantastic picture of how the love within us runs very deep. We're well-resourced, to use another really important word in constellations.
When we're in our right place.
Yeah. When we're well-connected with all that stands behind us to step into the future.
Very true.
Well, Abigail, thank you very much indeed. I'm Mark, and you can find out about the work we do in constellations on our workshops, on our websites. Abigail, do you want to just give your website?
Yes, so my website is www.potentialcharisma.com.
And mine is markvernon.com. And we run workshops together as well, so we'd hope to see you there sometime.
Thank you, Mark.